Hey, welcome to the Red Wine Therapist. We are the high altitude episode with Shantae Gallup.
Hello, Tay-Tay's in the house.
And then we have our two special guests for the evening. We have Christopher Patton.
Hey, what's up?
And Jan Scott Fager.
Hello.
Hello, and we're just now having people fill the room. We're going to have a live audience this time, which is really strange because we normally do. It's usually us sitting around our table with wine and drinking and talking very freely.
Red wine.
So we should be talking our NPR voices and put them to sleep and then
yes.
Talk really
good. And then talk really good. Yes, please. And then they won't know. It'll be like we're drinking wine. Not really.
It's a little more formal.
It's a little more formal. Yeah, so we just did the hot seat panel, and some of the people from that panel are coming back in. If you guys don't know, I'm just like talking randomly to nobody. I'm recording our podcast, which is going to be on our podcast site, Red Wine Therapist. Yeah, it's totally picking up. Look at that.
Oh, yep. Hello.
Look at those sound waves. Like,
look
going.
At those sound waves.
Yeah.
If I do this.
That's your favorite voice, right? Yeah.
I can't stand that voice.
What? When did that happen?
I've always thought that voice was creepy. I've always just now? Yeah, do it again.
It's just the green voice in front
of it.
Tell me, say something.
Say, come to my house, little girl.
Oh, no, but no, see, that's just setting the zone. Leah. Leah, go down on me.
I hate it.
Thank you. That's what more people seem to think than Leah's in the minority.
Okay, so our topic for the evening, we have two topics for the evening. One is one that Shantae and I have been wanting to do for a long time, which is polyamorous relationships. Mm-hmm. And Patton has that kind of experience. And then kink. Like, who doesn't love kink?
Yes.
As the last panel showed.
And yes.
Jan Scott is here talking to us about kink.
Just Jan.
Jan is here talking to us about kink. So, let's start with this one.
Okay.
This one.
Yeah.
They're shutting the door. Good. Okay.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yes.
So tell us about a polyamorous relationship. Like, what is it? By your definition, what would you say it is?
That's important, I think, to say by my definition because...
Yeah.
I've discovered that everyone seems to... It's a very subjective term. First of all, it should be noted it's not a real word. Polyamorous is... It's a made-up hybrid of like Greek and Latin. So it's not an actual word, but it's become such a big buzzword that people just accept it now. And really, you could, for some people, it's really just a substitute for open relationship. For other people, it's something much more structured. In the case of my partner and I, it's probably more on along the lines of an open relationship, but
it didn't start out that way, right?
No, for the first 6 months that we were together, we were strictly monogamous, and what we both kind of believe is that the only way that a polyamorous relationship really works is, again, this is just our belief, it's not a gospel truth at all. Is that you start off with a monogamous foundation and you learn to really trust each other. And then when you decide, you know, we're free people. And again, this is not a judgment on people who are strictly monogamous, but we're free people who enjoy like sharing either our bodies and or minds and or hearts with other people as well. And that's cool. Then you've already built this monogamous kind of groundwork of trust that I think makes it easier to be... If you start off, I think... It's my opinion. Again, I should just say that's everything I say tonight is just purely my opinion.
Yeah.
I'm not preaching at anyone. But I think if you start off polyamorous from the get-go, you're a lot more likely to run into trouble.
Mm. Why do you think that?
Why do I think that? Because it's been my experience, but it's a better question, I think, than what you're asking is why does that happen? Why do I think it happens? Mm-hmm. And probably because... for us, certainly the whole reason polyamory or polyromanticism works is because we have a really strong emotional bond. Mm-hmm. And I think you have to have a really, really strong emotional link before you can like share at least your body with someone else.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm quite sure there are some people who just start relationships off that, oh, by the way, I'm poly. It's my mind. It's how I work. Oh, good. Me too. That's how we're going to be. For he and I, it was much more like, you know, we came from a whole spectrum of different relationships we've had in the past, and we wanted to start with something sort of traditional. Right. But then we were sort of able to build on that.
Did you know that? I mean, going in, like,
not at all.
Okay.
In fact, I was the one who was more kind of reticent about it. I have a lot of issues with jealousy, and that's why I was actually telling Leah this earlier. It's been really revelatory for me, and it's been sort of an epiphany that I can do this, because I've struggled terribly with jealousy, especially in my 20s and early 30s. And so this was the first time I was able to say, oh my God, you know, the person I'm with can find someone else attractive and flirt with them and mess around. Oh my God, and even have sex with them. And it doesn't damage the love that the two of you share. It actually has nothing to do with it. In our case, clearly there are lots of monogamous couples who are like, oh my God, don't even touch another person. And, you know, but for us, for me, it was very, he'd been in a polyamorous relationship before. I hadn't. It was really freeing for me. I don't have jealousy anymore. Like, I'm just not, I went from being a very jealous person to being absolutely not jealous. Like, I just don't care. I'm not jealous at all. And it's kind of awesome. I kind of love it.
So did you have, like, rules or boundaries? Did you guys discuss it? Like, what are...
We did discuss it. It's funny because at first we just sort of said it, but then the discussion sort of came along with time. But we did finally end up having, like, a long talk about it. And there are rules and boundaries, but they're not that many, because we sort of think that's antithetical to the whole reason you become polyamorous in the first place. But the biggest rule for us, and I would hope for most people, is safety.
Yeah.
Especially if there's going to be penetrative sex involved with a male or female, whatever, it doesn't matter. I would hope that safety is the biggest issue for anyone who's poly anything. But apart from that, we just try to have a level of transparency. Like, I know there are some poly people who are like, I don't want to hear about it. I don't want to know about it. If you fuck someone else, I don't want to hear about it. Don't tell me about it. We're just the opposite. We're, like, completely transparent. I mean, if we're just doing casual flirting with someone, we don't talk about every person we flirt with. But if something starts to kind of bubble up or spark with a person, we usually talk about it. And but apart from those two things, there really aren't a lot of rules. I think the main rule besides safety is that we are always what's referred to in one of the philosophical belief systems we subscribe to is you're chosen and preferred. So he and I are each other's chosen and preferred. Mm-hmm. And it's not that anyone else that enters our life romantically is second as a person or a human, but they are secondary to our relationship.
So you're kind of like Hugh Hefner and the rest of them are like hot, like, you know.
Bunnies?
No. Like, you know how he has, like, Holly... was like his main girl.
I know so little about Hugh Hefner.
He has like this mansion, and like Holly is like his main girl.
Okay.
Back when Girls Next Door was big. And like they shared everything together, like they were the couple. But then in the house, they
he
had
has
other
concubines.
Yeah. I mean, yes, except in this case, both of us have concubines, I suppose. And I think I would not to pass too much judgment on Mr. Hefner, but I would like to think both of us have a little more respect for the people we choose to sleep with or have dalliances with outside of our relationship. Like, I don't see it so much as is it concubinal? Is that the word? I don't see it so much as that as just other people we choose to hang out with or fuck around with. Or I mean, he's actually, for about a year and a half of our 3-year relationship so far, he's had another boyfriend.
And that's okay?
Yeah, like, we're friends, the other guy and I. In fact, it's really funny because, like, we lived together for over a year. And the other guy and I, like, loved Battlestar Galactica, and Richard hates it. So his other boyfriend and I would, like, watch Battlestar Galactica together, and then, you know, this is another little logistical thing. This is the kind of stuff you have to work out, though. So we all lived together in a 3-bedroom, and second boyfriend had his own bedroom, I had mine, and Richard would go back and forth to each one on alternating nights. So it just...
Would you hear them? Like, would you ever hear them?
Sometimes I did, yeah.
What do you do?
Sometimes I would just think that the other boyfriend made funny sounds.
Like, you would judge him?
I'm not judging him as a person. He's an awesome guy. He's a really, really cool person. But I would kind of think, I would never make that sound.
He's thinking the same thing about you.
Yeah.
Oh, of course he is. Of course he is. And also, the things that you kind of wonder, and for me this was not tied up in jealousy at all, but rather curiosity, is like, I wonder, like, how different the sex is between them than it is with us. And that, to me, that was just a curiosity, because I think sex is really interesting in general.
Yeah.
But, like, with Richard and I, like, number one, the thing is love and a mental emotional bond. And sex is important, but it's definitely secondary, I would say, to everything, even though it's very important. So it's kind of like, I don't know, like, Richard, we'll walk around the con and we'll both, like, cruise guys that we see. Like, and we both know exactly what we're doing. And because he has a very specific type and I have types and everything like that.
So it sounds like when you guys do this, you're both, like, separate. Do you ever bring them together?
Yeah, we don't. I know a lot of, like, that, and that's another way that a lot of times some people's definition of polyamory is they all kind of date each other. In fact, I've known a lot of people like that. Like, they live in a poly household where all three or four or five people date. Mm-hmm. But with he and I, it's more like we tend to play or date separately. Okay. There's been a couple of times where we've, what did you say earlier, threed up? Is that what you said? I never heard that particular way of describing it.
Threed up.
We've threed up a couple of times, but it's kind of awkward because his taste in guys is very different from mine, so there's not always a lot of chemistry. It's like, oh, I don't really find that guy very attractive.
How is that, though, if you guys are attracted to each other, but you're attracted to
different types? Yeah.
Because I'm not attracted to guys like me.
Like you, okay.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
I'm attracted to, like, shorter, typically. I mean, I have a really wide range of taste, but if you want to say typical, I'm very typically attracted to shorter guys with darker hair, and he likes taller guys with blonde hair. And that's
Imagine that.
And that's just usually not my type. So, but no, so he and I tend to play and date separately, but that's why we talk a lot. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, I think when it gets dicey and ugly is when you start hiding lots of things from each other. For whatever reason. I just think that's when you can get into trouble. And he and I are just so open with each other. So,
I have a question about, like, the third person that you play with or whatever. At what point do you say, okay, this is over, I can't do this anymore because I'm with number one? Like, do they get too attached, or do they...
You say that when the third person... First of all, there's so many different ways another person can be in your life. Like, for example, I alluded earlier to the fact that I have very specific sort of BDSM kinks that I'm into. Mm-hmm. So I might have subs, right? I might have, like...
Wait, what's a sub for those of us?
A submissive.
Not a sandwich.
And so, no. Although that's a possibility. There's usually a weenie involved. But so I might have two or three submissives, but none of them are, like, so prevalent in my life that it even really needs to be, like... So an issue might come up where you've got someone else that you're really interested in. Like, you're developing, like, feelings and such, and like he did with the other boyfriend that he's had, and that's not a problem until the other boyfriend or girlfriend, whatever, is, like, you know, starts getting all Glenn Close Fatal Attraction. Then it's like, no, I want to be the only person in your life. Well, that's not how it works. You're not going to be the only person in my life, so they have to be cool with it too, you know. And that's why you have to be up. It's one of definitely a situation where you've got to be upfront with people from the get-go. Yeah. It's like, I'm polyamorous. That's the kind of lifestyle I lead. I like to usually be with more than one person at a time. You know, for whatever. I'm just built. I was born this way. No, but, like, it is just how I'm made. It's how my brain and my libido works and my for whatever reason. So, yeah.
That's fascinating. So, like, do you ever fall in love with the third person?
Hence the polyamory. And that's why, that is why there's a lot of people make the distinction polyromantic and polyamorous, because some people only want to dally with, I want to get with another person and maybe go on a few dates and have lots of hot monkey sex with them. And that's cool. But, like, we're both open to the fact that we believe that human beings are capable of loving more than one person at a time. And so we're definitely open to the idea. Like, he certainly loves his other boyfriend, but I never feel like it doesn't conflict with our love at all. So, but yeah, you can develop love for another person. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Wow. That's just amazing. So how did you get around? I mean, you said you used to be jealous. Did you just, like, will it away? I mean, like,
yeah, it was, you know, I think part of it was, like, I'm 42 now. And, like, so I spent all my teens, all my 20s and my 30s being super, super possessive and jealous. And it broke up tons of relationships and it made me really needy and fucking annoying, to be honest with you. Like, I mean, and all of a sudden I think I hit 40, which is when we made the decision, I guess. And I was just like, I'm so tired of feeling this way. Mm-hmm. I'm so tired of being jealous of people. It's so exhausting, and it just it fucks with your, it makes you sick, and it messes with your brain, and it messes with your productivity at your job, and just being happy. I was like, what's the point at the end of the day in being jealous of someone else? Like, if someone honest to God loves you and you love them back and you both want to share parts of yourself with other people, what's the problem? And I know many people can't see that, but I think lots of people also do. I'll go ahead and say this without you asking the question. I sort of think this is kind of the next coming out of the closet that's going to happen for a lot of people. I think that polyamory and polyromanticism is actually very prevalent, but it's very closeted and sort of not spoken about or talked about so much, and it's not out in the open because it's judged. You know, I mean, but I think that that's going to sort of, once the gay thing and, you know, the LGBTQ, the whole thing is going to take a while, you know, to really come into existence and be in the forefront of culture, of our society. But I think the next part of the Q, I guess, part of it is going to be the polyamory. But that's, again, my opinion. It's also what, I mean, I'm on a lot of sex and kink sites.
Yeah.
And there is lots and lots. First of all, a lot of you people are fucking kinky out there. One thing.
I can't wait till we get to that section.
But
of this.
Beyond, above and beyond that, or just beyond that, lots of people are into the poly lifestyle in all sorts of different shades and configurations. But a lot of people are poly.
I'm just blown away because, like, I feel like I'm one of the most logical people, you know, around. And as much as I can think the same way that you do, and I agree that, yeah, you can love someone else, like, I can't deny that I'm affected, like, sometimes, some, you know, when I see, like, my ex with somebody, like, even though I'm completely over him, seeing him makes you go,
And I wish I could explain.
And it's, like, involuntary.
Like, if I could explain how I made all that go away, I would be a multimillionaire.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know how I made all that go away. It just happened, and, like, I see my exes with other people, and I, you know, Richard and I just talk openly about, oh, that guy's really hot. Oh, I messed around with it. Like, I go, I mean, to be honest with you, Richard doesn't come to most cons with me. I'm usually gone 3 to 5 days at these conventions. And, like, do I get with people at certain conventions? Yes, I do. And
does he report back?
And that's, I'm getting there. Okay. And does he get with people while I'm gone? Yes. And we'll get home and we'll, like, trade war stories sometimes, you know? And it's like, yeah, I mean, and it just doesn't.
And the third person is, like, okay with this. Like, they're.
I mean, yeah, I don't hide it. I'm like, you know, I'm real upfront. Yes, I have a partner. Yeah, we're poly. Do you want to go to my room? I mean, I don't usually close the deal that fast. But I mean, but yeah, the third person's cool with it. Lots of people.
It's, I want to be cool with it. Like, I feel like,
well,
I,
but you don't
cool
have to be. You don't have to be. It's, that's who you are. So it's just, and you're younger than I am. Maybe by the time you turn 40, you'll be like, fuck it. I'm all poly up in this. But maybe not. So whatever.
Well, I know there's something different about, like, if I have an FWB.
Friend with benefit?
Yeah. It's a lot easier for me to actually really date. I don't know.
What do you mean?
Like, I can actually go out and date somebody and give them a shot and not feel, like, nervous or annoyed for whatever reason, because I know I have, like, I can go have sex with, you know.
You got a backup plan.
You got a backup plan. Is it anything like that?
I mean, it
like
is.
Like, you can play around with these dudes because you have the relationship already. You're already fulfilled.
I've thought about that before. Like, I am really lucky because, like, if some guy wants to get with me while I'm out in some other city, I can totally do it. But the cool thing is like, even if they don't, or they suck in bed, or, like, they end up being really lame, or they flake out, well, I've got a boyfriend at home. Yeah. So, I never thought of, like, when we got into it, I didn't think about, God, what are all the benefits going to be? It just sounded like the right idea. It sounded like the right thing to do. But, yeah, there are a lot of benefits that go along with it. If you can handle it, if you're into it, if you can really handle it. Yeah.
So are you guys into that? Like, do you have any?
No.
I mean,
no one's going to raise their hands like, yeah, and that's a whole group of people do. Yeah.
Right, exactly, exactly.
But I mean, you guys, like, Chate and Jan.
No, I don't think I'm kind of like you. I can understand it on a conceptual level, like.
But not an implementation.
Right, like, sex is sex, and you can separate those things, and you can separate your emotions, and I'm not a jealous person at all, but I don't know if I would be comfortable, you know, having someone going out and doing that as a part of, I want you to only want me, and.
Yeah,
and, you know, that's selfish, but that's what I prefer. But
I don't have any issue with it, really. I prefer open relationships because for whatever it is, I don't have the wiring for monogamy. It just doesn't work out.
Yeah.
Yes, it just does not work out. Yeah. And I've spent so much of my life forcing myself into that form, into that box, and it would end up in disaster every single time. And so I knew I needed something else. And I don't know, I'm still looking for that. Some options I'm still looking for. I'm like not actively looking, but I don't even know.
You're open to it.
But, you know, I'm not looking for like a really serious type marriage type relationship again. But I have watched people, I mean, my friends have had, like, it's like a multiple marriage type relationship. I counsel the kink and LGBT community. I should say that. I'm also, besides being an anime guest here, doing anime stuff, I'm also a therapist here in Colorado. I do individual psychotherapy for... individual psychotherapy for a couple of days. That would have been fantastic. Individual psychotherapy for us, for fans, for you know, nerds, for the, like I said, the LGBT community, the kink community, because, you know, I understand, you know, you're like, hey, so I spent all last weekend watching Battlestar Galactica. Okay, what did you do that was problematic, you know? I mean, so I've seen poly in all sorts of different ways. Most of the time when I see people who are dealing with this as clients, they are dealing with it as multiple primary relationships and like married type relationships where they don't really have smaller relationships outside of that. I mean, most of the people I see, of course, there's a giant wide spectrum. And I don't know, I wouldn't have no problem with my partner doing whatever. I mean, I'm very open to whatever. I'm not advocating that, hey, go out and have group sex or whatever, but if you find the opportunity to have a really amazing experience of whatever type and everyone is safe, sane, and consensual, whatever is where I'm at.
I feel like I kind of had a relationship like that where we were open, but I don't think it was any, like, I don't know, nothing was ever said about, like, the ranking of it all, so I think I felt funny about that, but I feel like if I was, like, number one... I think it would have been okay. Because he would, like, date other people and then tell me about it. And I was like, oh, that's cool. But I think it was cool because he was sharing it with me. You know what I mean? I feel like if I found out later, is it like that with y'all? Like, if you found out,
again,
like, you didn't say...
I don't think there's anything more important in any relationship, monogamous or polyamorous, than communication.
But what if...
And transparency.
What if, say, the third person is like, can we keep this between us? Like, would you do that?
Oh, no, I couldn't do that. No. To be honest with you, Richard and I both, probably at the end of the day, if either one of us did that, at the end of the day, we probably wouldn't be too cheesed off about it, but neither one of us are big about keeping secrets from each other. And I do think if a problem is going to take root and fester, that's where it's going to take root and fester, is in the secrecy.
Just in looking at the whole spectrum of poly relationships, and for that matter, kink relationships, the one thing that I find that really makes them work is negotiation. When you're up front, it's like, hey, okay, I'm into this. I am interested in this kind of relationship and this. I mean, even if you don't know exactly, that's fine. But, man, without that, and that includes that. It's like, okay, if we have sex outside of this, are we going to tell each other? Does it matter? No, it doesn't matter, so don't tell me. Or, yes, I want to know the details, and I want to see video. As long as you and your partners, have negotiated that up front, then you don't have to worry. And then really the secrecy is on you, you know, if you start playing that game.
So what kind of, who would you recommend, like, just across the board, this sort of relationship to? Like, do you think it could be like a solution to something, or?
I think there are so many people like Jan and like myself, and Jan actually said it really well. You stole the words out of my brain. I'm not wired for monogamy, and I tried it all since I hit puberty on. Since I was dating, I started dating at like 15 till I was 40. I tried to force myself into that monogamous mold. And I think there are tons of people out there who are trying to force themselves because society, especially American society, tells you need to be monogamous. And they're like, okay, so I need to be, no matter what my true feelings are. But I think if you do sit back and you examine your true feelings and you feel like you're not wired for monogamy, that's who I recommend it to. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that's who I recommend it to.
Cool.
I don't know.
Hey, my dad wasn't wired for monogamy, but unfortunately he did it in a totally different way, and he had another family here.
Oh, yeah.
And I mean, I didn't know this until I was like 17, and he took me to meet them. I'm like, what? Who are these people? Oh, my God. You know? And he's like, you know, he's kind of like, play along here. I'm like,
play along.
So, no, and I, you know, and as I examine myself and my own relationships, my marriage, and that kind of stuff, I realized that I had that, whatever that is, I have that or don't have that, and I, rather than destroy over and over and over again, I just decided I would pursue, I don't know, something else.
So Shantae, you said that you're not into this. If you had a client that came in and was in this kind of relationship, how would you be able to relate to them, or would you think that they should be more monogamous?
I have had clients like that, and I mean, that's, yeah, I mean, and that's my, I mean, that's my personal bias. It doesn't work for me. I'm not going to judge my client and say you shouldn't do that. If that works for them and that's what they like to do, then I don't have any judgment on it. I mean, in therapy, we're kind of working out the, okay, well, how is this working for you? What's going on here? What are the problems? It's more like that. It's not me going, well, I wouldn't do
it's
that.
Not,
you
know,
that's like the worst.
Yeah, it's like that you can do. Right, basically, it's like therapy 101, like big no.
What I know if it was like, you know, one of those things where you go, well, do you really want to do that? What does it really mean? What are you really looking for? You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But
I mean,
that's what I would do.
I mean, it's more of me asking what they're, if it's not working for them, or, you know, then I'm going to ask them questions like, well, why are you doing this? How is this serving you? If you are doing it for your partner because that's what your partner likes,
right,
but you really truly are not into it.
That's the problem.
Yeah.
That's a big catch one right there.
Or you're not really being honest. Like, I don't know if anyone knows. I watched a show called Basketball Wives, so don't judge me. But on the show, one of the women on the show, she told her husband, well, if you're going to cheat on me, you need to use condoms. That's all I care about. So anyway, she finds condoms in his car, and then she goes off on him and gets mad. Well, you told him.
Right.
Yeah,
you said use condoms. So, and that's what he did. So, you know what I mean? So that's what I have an issue with, is don't say that you're really into it because you're trying to appease your partner and you really aren't, you know, into it.
Yeah.
Exactly. I agree completely.
So before we segue into our next topic, Patton, we have some words for you. So
really?
It's a little... Well, word association.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean? I'm just going to throw these words out, and you just give the one word.
It's horrible. Okay.
Yeah. You know, once you think of these words.
Great. Okay.
So, Shantae, do you want to go ahead and give them to
him? Straight people.
First word that comes up. That...
And I can't explain why it's the first word, right?
No.
Just...
Hot.
Hot. Oh, my God.
Gay people.
Pink.
Oral sex.
Slippery.
Anal sex.
Rough.
Oh, mm-hmm. Blind dates.
Fun.
Really? Mm-hmm. Oprah.
Rich.
Virgins.
Hot.
Yes.
Do you think virgins are hot? Oh my God, no virgins, please. It's like they're hot to like look at them and go, oh sweet, but man, once you get into that, no, oh my God.
Is it awkward?
It's like, you know, it's not. Hey, it's not awkward. It wouldn't be awkward for me, but it's like, really? Oh God. No, okay. No, it's just. It's not.
Are you talking about like sort of the attachment factor?
No, well, no. I'm talking about they have no the fuck idea what they're doing.
Oh well, they're.
You know, it's like, you know.
There's that.
Yeah, and it's kind of sad because the longer people kind of go without losing their virginity, this happens a lot where then people are like, well, I don't want to, you know? So it kind of sucks. You know, it's like people are trying to watch the show where the girl was trying to get this, you know, she wanted to have sex. You know, she's like, I'm ready. But every time she told someone she was a virgin, they were like, I'm out, you know, and like you, just like, no, I'm not even going there, because they were afraid that you would get attached or whatever.
No, it's clumsy. It's just, you have to go through that whole, you become the teacher. And, you know, and that's okay to some pieces, but the whole process is just about being about it, you know. And I'm not like the hot teacher. I'm just like, no, here's how we do this. Oh, you've never been through this? Really? Okay. Yeah. You've never had your guinea pig die. Oh, this is going to be fun. You're 35, you know.
Yeah. So, Jan, you talked to us about the kink lifestyle and you tell us more about that. What do you do? What's your association with kink, fascination?
I have a lot of association with kink. I mean, obviously, there's my professional association, but the reason I came to that is because of my own experiences. You know, I spent, oh my gosh, yeah, I'm let's just say I'm around the same age as Chris Patton, but much younger. In mind. No, I spent a great deal of my life, up until I was like 22, I thought that I was the most broken person on earth, because there were things I was interested in, you know, stuff I'd see in movies or whatever. And I was like, why am I interested in seeing people like tied up or tied to trees? I don't get that. There's something wrong with me. What is that? You know? And so, among other things. And I had one friend when I got into anime, then things changed, you know, because I started to see more different ideas and stuff. And of course, the Japanese and their rope and their fetishes and all that kind of stuff. And so I moved over there in 1987, and that was like moving to Oz, man. I was like, what are the animals saying? You know? God, I can talk about this. I don't get to talk about this with Kan. So the first week I was living in Tokyo, I went down to Kanda, which is this place where they had all these bookstores. And I went to the top of this one, and I was trying to find their manga area, but I ended up going to their, like, big porn area, and the door opens, I'm like, oh my god, I've never seen it so densely packed. And I was, like, kind of walking, it was just overwhelming, all the images and stuff, and I turned this corner, and right at the end was this book rack. They had these big, like, coffee table books, and there was this mouth here that was kind of horizontal, not these lips, like these red, beautiful red lipstick lips open, and there was this big turd coming down towards it on this thing in this perfect white binding. And I'm like, oh man, you would see that, hopefully not on your coffee table. It's like, wow, where did you get this? Oh my God. It's just like, oh, this is a whole different world here, you know. And so I was able to look at different stuff and see different things and find names for stuff and realize that, you know, kink really isn't that. I mean, obviously there are some people who take it to extremes just like anybody else, but you know, it doesn't have to be anything wrong. Kink being, you know, fetishes, stuff we're very attached to, very interested in, turned on by. Like if you, let's say you like fedoras is your fetish. So when you see a person wearing a fedora, that's like, hey, that's, no one's wearing a fedora, right? it's like, ooh, that kind of turns you on. Lingerie is kind of fetish. Now, that's fetishy, but a fetish would be specific types of lingerie. Mm-hmm. Or like thigh-high stockings, or that kind of stuff. Fetishes are specific, whereas kink kind of broader.
Okay. Well, what's your favorite kinds, if you had to pick?
Me, personally? Yeah. Rope. I like rope. Being in rope is where my heart lies.
Any specific way, or just?
All sorts of ways. It's just be creative, you know?
In the rope.
I mean, and the thing is, something I really need to define here is that kink is not necessarily a sexual relationship. Mm. Like, there are a lot of people who go and, you know, they have their person who whips them or flogs them or whatever. And that's, you know, it's almost like a massage type relationship. Mm-hmm. You know, it's kind of, there's no real way to describe it. You have this and it's, I mean, obviously you're very stimulated. You know, maybe somebody's naked or whatever, but it doesn't necessarily turn into sex. It's the act of that, the fetish of that is so exciting in itself. Mm-hmm. So I have never, I've been involved in the kink community for, geez, I don't even know, like 6 or 7 years. And I have never had sex with anyone I have played with in all that time.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I mean, we have that thing. So you know, I like that. I like, you know, I like being rope. I like people being creative. I like things that are very soft and, like, I like silk. I like stuff. I'm very fluffy and yeah. I'm a fluffy bottom, so.
So how does that go along in, like, relationships? Like, if you had, if you were in a either serious relationship, polyamorous or whatever, do you bring those into the relationship?
For me, yes. It has to be there. It has to. You know, it's part of, it is an integral part of my sexuality. It has to be there to some degree or, you know, I start to lose interest. And so the thing is, I mean, we were talking about poly relationships. I could have that relationship with somebody and have just a vanilla sex relationship, I think, to some degree. With somebody.
Could you be okay with a vanilla sex relationship?
I don't know. It's an interesting... what is vanilla for me? You know, that's what you want.
What is vanilla?
You know, really, there's just... I mean, I exist, like, between dimensions, you know, so...
Yeah.
No, I mean, that's not... That wasn't even really a good description, but... So, I don't know. I just... having a totally non-king relationship, I'm not sure. I'm not really sure if I could stay involved enough. And it's that, talk about wiring, and this, there were things about this when I was 4 years old and 5 years old, there was this behavior or wiring or whatever the heck it was came out.
Yeah.
This predates all of my sexuality.
Really?
My sexuality just kind of showed up.
What was your first kink, do you think?
It was bondage. It was people being tied up ropes and stuff. There was just, I don't know. Like I said, I can't describe it. I can't explain what it was. And then as a child of the 70s, the aerobics ladies on TV were just so, that was hot.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, it just, you know, that kind of stuff. And I just, I don't know. As now that I work with the kink community now, I like exploring and stuff. I just like to have fun and do new things. And I love fetishes that are, like, really clean fetishes, like balloon popping. I love balloon popping. I mean, it doesn't turn me on, but I'm like, I would do it all day. I just think that's the coolest thing.
Like the bubble
thing.
Tape? Or like
big balloons and sitting on balloons and popping balloons. I would make videos of that. And people really get off on that. I'm like, I love that. I think that's just fun.
That
like squashing, where you, like, spray pudding on each other and stuff. How awesome is that, right? You know? I would totally do that. That's fun. I mean, like I said, it's not a thing like I must have this like other things, or even I mean like experiences like being candle waxed or something like that.
Yeah.
That's a really intense experience, but it's, you know, it's, and I almost said it's worth doing once for everybody. Yeah. But it's, you know, I like intense experiences. It's something that I seek. I don't seek danger. I never go into danger. No. You know, breath play or any of that kind of stuff. I don't play the edge or anything. But yeah.
So, like, I'm just curious, like, how long, to say, if you're, like, sloshing, how long does a session last? Like, do you just want, like, one good slosh and do something else?
It would depend on what you're doing. Because there's, like, I mean, let's say you were doing water balloons full of tempera paint. Or something like that, or like whipped cream or something. And you might even want to mix things. Like if you're doing like whipped cream and chocolate and all that kind of stuff, then, you know,
that
whatever.
That sounds like fun.
I know. It's like paint, you know, just painting
like
each other. Honestly, if you look online, you can see swashing videos. And sometimes people are just wearing bathing suits. You know, they don't even have to get naked. I think naked's best, of course, but, you know, come on. Then, you know, we're going to spray paint all each other. Let's, you know, why not? But
like,
I just... you know, that kind of stuff, I just think it's so fun. And like what is it, tickling fetishes, I think that's awesome because it's just so cute. And yeah.
It's adorable.
And the socks fetish, I think the socks
fetish. There's a socks fetish?
Oh yeah, totally.
There's a fetish for everything.
Like you just wearing the socks?
Well, like some people like Argyle socks, like they have a specific fetish for these, and they like that's their thing, that's what keeps them. And some people like the over the knee socks that you see at cons and stuff. That's how, there's a lot of people
yeah.
who come to cons with that one. Yeah, and then well, there's thigh highs, of course, and you know, yeah, and so it there's a lot of leg stuff, and of course, you know, chest related stuff, hair. is a big fetish thing for people. Sometimes sometimes people will see a type of a haircut that just makes them go, that's like a, that's kind of the opposite of a fetish. That's kind of the repulsion aspect of it. And it's just, ultimately, it's the same stuff in you, but it's just, it's strong attachments. It's interesting.
Where do those come from, do you think? Like,
you know, that's a really interesting question. We don't really know. There are different ideas. There's like the ideas that you form schema, you form these, you know, structures of basically beliefs and feelings and your body and all this kind of stuff as you're a child, and those later affect you. But, you know, it's so hard to look at something like this and see back. I mean, some people say feel that it's triggered. I mean, some people have the strong trigger, like they saw a woman in a white dress, or like, let's say you were like really into the aerobics dancers, and say, okay, you know, I'm into them because they have leg warmers, or because they have the headband, or whatever it is that really turned you on.
Yeah.
That's like triggered, but you know, what predates that?
Where
it just,
I think it's interesting because a lot of people know where the opposite trigger comes from. Like, they know if they see curly hair and they freak out, they know it's because someone with curly hair like beat them or whatever. Mm-hmm. But it's hard to identify where, you know, something that makes you feel good comes from.
Well, it's, you know, I was talking about the guy who had the foot fetish that I dated, and but I hate feet. I don't know where that came from.
I don't know where that came from either.
I hate it. I hate them so much. Yeah. I don't like them. I don't like to look at them. I don't want them on me.
Yeah, it's like it's just like a paraphilia. It's the opposite of a paraphilia, and I find that fascinating. People who parts of their body they just detest. I mean, well, I understand to some degree, of course, but obviously, but there's parts like, oh, I hate, don't ever touch me with your foot. I've never had that issue. I mean, it's like, don't rip your butthole on me. Come on, honey, you know, don't keep your dick out of my face. I'm trying to sleep. You know, that kind of stuff. Okay, but you know, I mean, as a general, I find it really interesting. I find that fascinating.
Okay. So, what are some of your favorite kinks, Chris Penn?
Yeah, you were saying I was doing fetish sites. I want to know. Throw down. Let's hear it.
Share the story too much, yeah.
Oh, God.
That's a universe.
Well, what? No. Not into Hugo Boss. I mean, real, basically, I love... briefs, not on me, on other guys that I'm into. I love briefs. Something to me, and I'm about to offend almost every dude in the room. I think boxers are so unsexy for some reason.
I don't think they're sexy either.
Yeah, and I don't know why. I just there's something about like a guy, and especially if you can really rock it, a pair of briefs. God damn it. Anyway, boxer briefs are okay, but there's something. A little more, like, the guy is showing a little more vulnerability if he's wearing briefs as opposed to boxer briefs. As far as, like... No, go ahead.
What color?
I mean, I'm... Honestly... and this is where it gets a little more fetishy, is I do like tidy whities.
We're already way into fetish.
We're way, yeah. So I like...
You said but not boxer briefs.
Right. So I like tidy whities a lot. I do, and I know that's like, it's supposed to be like the most unhip kind of underwear, but no, if a guy can rock them, and black, I mean black. I have a lot of fetishes that sort of revolve around my interest in the occult and darkness and sort of gothic culture, but my primary fetish, which is, I'm always really, I can't believe I'm actually about to talk about it, because it's, I'm really reticent, in the kink community, it's very, very prevalent and it's very common, but I didn't know that till I started opening up about it. But in daily life, you really have to talk about it and qualify it with some things before people are like, whoa, what are you talking about? So, like, all right, I'm really into it has to do with like me being an older guy and a guy being a younger guy, like a younger guy. And the way it gets... Oh, God, you guys, don't throw things at me. So, let me explain.
I see they're lighting their torches right now.
Yeah. So, okay, so what it's mainly called in the kink community is dad's son, okay?
Dad's son, right?
Yeah, but it's not real dads and sons, like, getting it on with each other, like in the Ozarks. It's not that. It's the role play of, like, for me specifically, it's about... Like, finding a younger man who's into kink play, but who really, really badly wants like mentorship and guidance. And much like with a lot of different fetishes, it's not necessarily ultra sexual. There's like an erotic aspect to it. So there is an eroticism to it and a sensuality to it, but primarily it tends to be about like mentoring and guiding. And there is some, I don't know if it's something that I miss, like, what's the trigger? Like, did I miss being able to be a father when I was like 25? I wanted to be a dad. I don't know. But like, this just developed over the past several years in me. I've always been attracted to younger guys. And by the way, I want to qualify that with like 19 to 30 year olds, not like 12 to 15 year olds. So, but younger guys, and there is definitely an urge to like dad them, father them. It's just that there's the kinky part, I guess, is that there is sometimes the incestuous role play to it. But I don't even look at it that way. I just, there's just an eroticism to it. And, but it becomes much more like about cuddling and talking and like certain forms of discipline and like checking in and all that. And that's my big, 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 big kink fetish. And there, I didn't know until I started being open about it online, like how freaking prevalent it is. It's just like, wow. Yeah. So that's mine. Yeah.
How about you, Leah?
Men in suits. I don't know what it is. Or jackets.
Mm-hmm. It's because guys look really good.
Well, I know, but there's something about it. That,
no, it's,
like,
it's
I don't,
beyond that, yeah.
Even if I'm, like, there's a guy that I don't really think is that attractive, mm-hmm. for whatever reason, when they have a jacket on or, like, a suit, I'm just kind of, like, thinking, maybe. Mm-hmm. And I just start, like, thinking about, you know, like putting my hands through it and fishing, and you know, it's a really strange feeling that happens.
Like, do you think that has to do at all with like being at all subservient to that guy, or like a secretary to a boss, or like I mean,
use air quotes.
Secretary to a boss. No, I mean, I don't know. Do you think there's anything beyond just the fact that you like the suit and the suit's hot, or
I think it's like, maybe it's more like a powerful thing, or you know,
a powerful, successful
like
man,
sort of thing.
Is there a particular type of suit, like it's a pinstripe suit, or
I just want the jacket and the tie and then a shirt and him to look like a dude,
like a dude.
Yes, like a man,
like the Marlboro man or something
in a suit,
some, like terrible stereotype.
I think that's it. And hair. Like, I really like good hair on a guy. Like, really good hair. Like, I don't know.
A Huber?
Like, stylist. No.
Sorry, okay.
Like, who would have good hair?
He says he has good hair.
Yeah, kind of like that. It's longer. You can run your hands through it. Yeah.
Right, that's what I was thinking. It's probably, like, being able to run your hands
Hands through it and, like,
you were thinking
it.
About running your hands through his hair.
You know. Put a suit on, maybe I will. Things got weird.
Oh, now things are weird.
Because just this moment.
So, Ed, could there possibly be something to ruin the kink for you? Like,
Absolutely. I mean, there's, like, I am not, for me, for instance, I'm not really that into pain. So if, I mean, I like the restraint, I like the tension, I'll take pain, some of it, have a really high threshold for it. I mean, fucking is fun as long as it's made of the right material. Mm-hmm. But sometimes if I'm with somebody, like, oh my God, fucking spanking. People love, everyone in the world loves spanking. I am ambivalent towards it. I'm like, oh, whatever. But everyone loves to spank me. People are like, I must spank you. And I'm like, I don't understand why, but I'm like, okay, you can spank me. So I just become like this, yeah, I'll do it. And it's not like I don't hate it or anything like that. But so something like that, it's like if they only wanted to spank me or something, I'd be like, no. It's not like I have to get off during the session or something like that. No, that's not what I'm saying at all. But, or if they did, let's say a clothing fetish item that is very interesting to me, if that was to be ripped or torn or something, it would kind of break it would violate the integrity of the fantasy. Yes. That's an integral element of the fetish, because there's the fantasy, there's the you know, kinesthetic aspect, the somatic aspect, which is the body, and then there's the, you know, it's a multiple loads there. Mm-hmm. So yeah, there's that kind of stuff. Or if I was, you know, really in deep space there, and somebody just let the rope go or something like that, I'd be like, well, I would be so disoriented. Mm-hmm. Or that matter, you know, it's like we were talking about waxing, you know, it's awesome. I mean, I'll do stuff like that. But like one time I was at a place that, I ended up playing with this woman. I didn't really know who she was. And she's like, hand me this person. She's like, shing, this is my knife. I'm like, oh, and you know, it's like dragging that image. And I'm like, and I was very new to the scene at the time. I'm like, I don't really know her. And so as soon as she started getting scary, you know, I indicated that I was not interested in any more of this activity. And, yeah, so I was like, so that, it was like, that was fear, mm-hmm. stuff, which is its own kind of interesting little world. But I mean, you know, that's not something I see. But that kind of stuff, that was not a turn on. It was a rush. It was an incredible rush, but it wasn't something that I'd be like, yeah, you know. Yeah. But I mean, if somebody peed on me, that would be kind of the end of the scene. I just, it's not my thing. You know? Yeah, right. I mean, do whatever. Or if, you know, I don't know. Yeah, there would be certain things. It's just the integrity of the fantasy element of the fetish is really, really important.
Yes, absolutely.
It's like turning on the floodlights. You know, it's like, oh my god, you look like this.
Yes. So would that ruin it for you for that moment, or like permanently?
I've never had a fetish ruined permanently anything like that, but it can disrupt that relationship. It can disrupt that day or that week, or you know, even longer, depending on what. I mean, if I feel very invalidated by it, or if I feel it makes me feel like I'm crazy or sick or something, that's something where I become very judgmental towards myself. Then yeah, that would be, you know, a problem. But no, really, generally, I don't.
Yeah. You're so right though about maintaining. And see, this is where I was differing with you earlier when you were talking about how you met a guy once who wanted to be like your master or whatever, and he wanted it to. I was almost sympathizing more with him than with you, because you're like, he wanted it to be like all the time, and you were like, no, I just wanted to be when we. But there's something to be said when you are really fetishistic about a certain situation, dad, son, rope, mm-hmm. whatever. You kind of want, if you're playing with your kink party, you want, at least me personally, I want that to be how it is all the time. And if someone sort of breaks the rhythm of that up or breaks the flow of that up, it just totally jacks with the situation for me. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I need to learn to separate it. Because the person I am here, I mean, like, if you go
yes. down,
the person I am at the pounds, the person I am here, and the person I am, you know, professionally and all that stuff is very different.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
very,
yeah.
Very, very. And that's really, there's a lot of that. There's a lot of polar opposite in that. That's very different. And that other one, that's very vulnerable. I'm super picky about it and, you know, very careful and all that stuff. So,
yeah.
You know, yeah, it's just, you know, it, and if you have to decide, where is that line? Do you say, okay, I'm only going to do this with these specific people at these specific times of the year, even though it's twice a year, or I'm going to expand more and have kind of getting, you know, not dangerous, but kind of have some yuck here and there, and what am I talking about?
Some yuck here and there. All right, so yep. I'm going to give you some words.
Okay.
We'll do a word association, and after that we can open up to questions if you guys want to ask us anything.
Okay.
Alright, so your first word is babysitter.
Demon. For demon seed from the movie.
S&M.
Yay!
Blowjobs.
Maybe.
Love.
Okay.
STDs.
Oh, no. My word for that would be awareness. That's really the first thing that pops into my head. a lot of training about that. So.
Feet.
Feet?
Yeah.
Interesting.
George Bush.
President.
Blow up dolls.
Huh?
Blow up dolls.
Blow up dolls. Oh. Hilarious. Well, see, I worked at a shop where we sold them. I'm trying to, like, the name was, the shop name was two words.
And lesbian.
Lesbian? Oh, please.
Yeah. So, I guess we can open it up to our NDK audience. Do you guys have any questions, comments, stories you want to yes.
There's a guy in the back.
Who's come over here to this microphone. No,
have to
come over here.
There's a microphone. You have to talk to it.
It gets to get on the podcast.
You're being recorded live for all time.
Hi. What's your name, Crystal?
Hi, my name is Tali.
Hi, Tali.
I have a question for Jan.
For me? Yes.
At the bookstore back in Japan, did you buy any book or there, and what book was that?
Oh, I bought... Oh, what was the name of that book? They have these little bound volumes of, like, the... They have S&M magazines. And then they have these little bound volumes that are all the, like, photos, all the color stuff in there with none of, like, the side stories and stuff like that. I bought, I think I bought two of those there. And I can't remember the name of them, but they're, like, the size of, they were, like, really, they were very expensive. They were, like, $30 each at the time. But they were awesome. I mean, you know, I had those for a long time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Anyone else? Come on up. Just good. And then you, after that. Hi, what's your name?
Hi, I'm Gene.
Just my dad's name. It's all weird in here.
I had a question. You talked a bit about, like, you know, the rope thing, and you weren't sure where it came from. Do you ever talk to clients where they, like, kind of give you the runaround, and you think they're hiding it because they're, like, trying to hide some sort of weakness about themselves, or just, like, not willing to open up about something? Because it's strange to me, like, to not know, because, like, I feel like I know exactly where my fetish came from, like, immediately, just, like, life cycle, it was just logical to me. Mm-hmm. And, but, like, do you get someone where they're like, oh, no, I don't know, and then they, like, twirl their hair or something and don't want to talk about it?
Yeah, people have a lot of judgment around it, especially if they were castigated around it when mm-hmm. they were children. It's like, no, don't do that. If you had that as a kid, that can really be really loaded, and sometimes people... honestly, it's very similar, like, coming out, you know, if somebody's, they're really uncomfortable about coming out for a lot of different reasons, and sometimes they won't accept themselves, and I've seen that a lot with, I mean, I'm not saying just my clients, but I've seen that with a lot of people, you know, they'll drop hints about something, but I had that same issue. I thought, oh my God, I'm so broken, sick as sick can be. But then I realized there were other people who were like that. And I thought, well, they're sick too. And then I realized there's millions and millions and millions of people. But yeah, no, I think a lot of people do struggle with it. Definitely. Thank you.
Thanks. Come on. Hi, what's your name first?
Chris.
Hey. Oh, yes.
Yes. All right, so me and my partner have been together for like 6 years now, which is like 20 years in gay time.
Right? Hello.
But he recently, you know, suggested to me he'd like to try some, you know, tying up, which kind of makes me a little nervous because I wouldn't watch the videos afterwards. I'm like, oh, no, this is...
Mm-hmm. It gets intense.
Yeah, but he really wants to try it. You know, he does all sorts of things for me, so just maybe some advice about maybe how to get over it and, you know...
That's a good question.
There are some really good intro books out there. What's the name of that one? Intro to S&M, I think it is. Intro to Fetish Sex. There's some good books about it that you can read, and ultimately the whole thing is safe, sane, and consensual. As long as you feel safe and your partner feels safe, you know, and as long as it's something that you both feel comfortable doing, and as long as you both agree to do it, then...
Well, it's when we first started dating, you know, he didn't like to be held down or anything like that, and now he trusts me to do that sort of thing, and it made me feel really good, you know, trust me to do that sort of thing.
So, yeah, I would, like I said, I would look at those books and stuff, and if you're interested in specific things, like, let's say he was interested in, like, being put on a cross. I mean, not like Jesus. you could go to this. Do you live here?
Yeah, okay. Wyoming is still a little bit.
Okay. You could go to, like, there's clubs here in town, like the Sanctuary. You could go to the Sanctuary, and then you could see what other people are doing. Because, you know, they have public nights. They have, what is it? They have, a, like, one night a month that they do an orientation. thing that you can do that anyone can go to and check that out. And I think all of them do. There's a couple other clubs in town, but they're like the big one right now. So, and that way you can, and you can talk to people and you can see what they use, you know, like if you're interested in any kind of impact, like flogging or spanking or any of that kind of thing, you get to see different tools. I mean, you know, it's just, and people have single tails, you know, like Indiana Jones whip and stuff like that. Not quite that big, of course. But, I mean, you ain't going to have a 12-foot whip in a room this size, you know. Well, you could, but there's going to be a lot of angry people. But yeah, I mean, the thing is, you know, find people who know about it. That's a great way. And then you, and then there's definitely good stuff to read about. I wish I could give you a good intro book, but I'm just really spacey right now.
Well, if you think one, I'll be here all weekend. So just
me too. I'll be down at my table, so where I'll be doing henna and tarot card readings.
Yeah.
Everything.
Where are you doing
that
now?
Artist Alley.
Artist Alley. Yep.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yes, I'm an Artist Alley. Come to my table.
Thanks.
There's a question over here.
Come on up.
Okay.
From a short, from a short, younger, dark-haired man.
Chris Patton, this question is for you. Don't you have some other kind of a fetish involving a riding crop? And if so, could you please explain it to us?
Rock.
A riding crop. Oh,
yeah.
And what was your name, sir?
Well, my name would be Richard Davis, a.k.a. Rad, Chris Patton's boyfriend.
So, why am I like giggling like a schoolgirl? One of the very few ways I am submissive in my life is I like.
What?
It's not even. It's just so silly, but I really like it. I like when.
He's red. He's blushing. I've never seen this in my
it's
life.
It's called bastinado, and I like when Richard beats my feet with a riding crop.
Oh my God.
He beats the bottom of my feet like shit with a riding crop. Like he's a fucking demon, and like I really like it. But it probably has something to do with the fact that, like, honest to God, if you ever wanted me to do anything for you, if you just massage my feet for like 3 hours, I'll probably do almost anything except like get.
It's a long time.
I just love having my feet touched and massaged and rubbed. I love it. It drives me crazy. But something about bastinado though, I really like having the soles of my feet beaten with a riding crop. And
bastinado.
I find it very funny. Yeah, bastinado.
Very pretty name.
It is.
Feet beating.
Call me Chris Bastinado.
Chris Bastinado.
Does it make you laugh? Like, does it tickle?
No.
Or does it hurt? Like,
it tickles
it tickle
at first when he
yeah,
first starts.
Probably so, yeah.
But then it starts to feel kind of like a sunburn on your feet. And it's. Okay. In the summertime, have you ever walked barefoot on really hot?
Yes.
That's what it feels like. It's fucking awesome.
Did you ask
me
to
like,
do
I,
it?
As soon as, you know, see, the thing is, as soon as the tickling ends, that's where I'm like, I love it up to that point, but that's like, I know. It's
not
just like,
right.
It's just like, honestly, when you can't taste the fruity bubbles in champagne anymore, it's time to stop.
Yeah.
It's the same way for me.
I get, no, I get that. I can't go much beyond that point. I like it to start to feel like my feet are burning, and then I'm like, stop it, stop!
No marks.
No marks.
Did you ask him to do it, or did he just do it and you liked it?
I don't even... Richard, how did it happen? Of course he
remembers. I was definitely the one who initiated and suggested it, but then once I found out you liked it, I just continued to do it. And
yeah, okay,
now
that's
almost
right.
Like a chore. Babe, will you go get the riding crop and whip my feet? Generally how it goes, I'm like, God, again?
You take your frustrations out on him?
Well, you know, it's a healthy way to resolve that. If nobody
it's better than
it,
arguing,
it's
you know.
Consensual, I will say that.
No tell on the floor anymore!
Richard beats me. All right. Okay. Next question.
Yes. What's your name?
Kyle.
Hi, Kyle.
I was wondering, you guys had some time. You'd be willing to play a round among the four of you of Cards Against Humanity, the party game for horrible people?
I mean, I don't know that we have time to do that, but I love that game. It's totally awesome.
I would like to learn about the game later. I would.
Because really
cool. I don't know about it. But you're the second person that's brought it up to me this weekend, so I want to learn about
it. Have you played Apples to Apples?
No, Richard loves Apples to Apples.
Okay, it's like that, but like...
It's
really funny.
Okay.
It's fun.
Does it involve bastinado?
It can.
All right. Well, I will learn about it later. So do you want to ask a question?
Go on up there.
It's been a hell of a Friday.
It's been a long Friday.
It has been a long Friday. Whoa.
We both flew in today. Yes.
Well, hi, I'm Jeanette. You've never asked my name.
Jeanette! What's your name?
Is your name Jeanette?
Good.
Good guess. You look
like a Jeanette. You said something about being broken, you know? And I was raised in a very conservative Catholic environment.
Me too.
And, you know, they're like, oh, you have to be a virgin until you get married. Well, that didn't last long. But then I came into the, you know, the geek world, the anime, and I discovered hentai.
Oh, yeah.
But, like, I have preferences when it comes to hentai. And I'm like, ooh, this is really kind of...
What are your preferences?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I like tentacle, and I like futanari, and I like toys. Mm. You know? But the funny thing is, when I think about, like, doing that in real life, you know, I'm like, that doesn't sound fun. So, you know, that doesn't sound interesting to me, and it doesn't turn me on, like, if I did it, but I'm, like, really interested.
Fantasy.
And I can, you know, I can... So, like, what is that? Is that, like, kink, or is that, like, fetish?
It's
fetishes,
yeah. I mean, kink is, like, the big umbrella. But, yeah, it kind of, a fetish is really how deep does it go? Like, if it's, like, if you walk in the room, you just shove everything else aside. And that's, or like, even something like, you know, specific clothing preferences or something.
Briefs. Mm-hmm.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, something like very specific clothing preferences, or even the cut of specific clothing. Yeah, those can be fetishes. It's just. But there's also general interest. It's like you say, you know, I like the tentacle stuff or like whatever. I mean, and you'll have specific titles you'll like in that, of course. But if there's like very specific things that you want to see every time, or that you really need to push your buttons, that's where the fetishes are. Mm-hmm. Not that there's none, it's just kind of degrees really. Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. Tentacles. See, futanari is good in real life, you know.
What is futanari?
What is it?
Oh.
What is it?
It's very fascinating. You know, that's a question.
Would you please define us for the guests?
It's the Japanese word for hermaphroditism.
Oh!
Japanese word for hermaphroditism.
Well, actually, it's like, for them, it's like, everything is woman, penis.
Interesting.
Yeah,
okay. Chicks.
Definitely, you have
chicks
both parts.
Yeah, definitely. They have
that's
the both.
That's incredible.
And are they usually, my guess would be, is the penis usually really big?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, this is kind of interesting. Something I found out recently, I was reading about the reward system of the brain and such. And found out that, like, the reason that, you know, like, today you go on the internet and you look for, like, let's say tentacle porn, okay, and then, like, in a week you're, like, looking tentacle porn and multiple schoolgirls. Tentacle porn, multiple schoolgirls, you know, every hole is filled, you know what I mean? And, you know, you kind of look for more, or you expand, and one of the reasons why, and very possibly one of the reasons why fetishes work in the same way, is that when we get that, we get a little squirt of novelty chemicals. We get a little reward in our brain. And that can be, I mean, if you do that often enough, it can be probably as addictive as any other drug.
Sure, yeah. Briefs.
Thank you so much.
This lady has a question.
Oh, yes.
Oh, my goodness.
What is your name?
My name is Heather.
Heather.
Hi, Heather.
Hi.
Hi, Heather.
This question is kind of for all of you. Just kind of curious. Now, of course, since you're, you know, performers and on stage for the most part, there's certainly an extroverted characteristic in your personalities, but would you, in general, consider yourself an introvert or an extrovert, and how do you think that plays into your kinks?
I guess I'm a dichotomy in the sense that I am an actor, and I started out on stage, and I still do stage work, and I do voiceover work, and I appear at conventions, and I guess I'm sort of in my own little space when I'm doing all that, because in real life, I'm really introverted. I'm excessively introverted. In fact, I did one of those tests recently, mm-hmm. and I scored, like, way introverted, which is interesting, because people at cons, I think of me as, like, oh my god, mm-hmm. what is it? Like, I'm just like, bleh. But I'm very introverted. I don't know how it ties into my kinks or not, except for the fact that I would have to really have to think about that, because especially the main kink that I mentioned, I'm not sure how introversion plays into that, except that it's not a very brash kink, as far as, like, it's not sort of exhibitionist, it's not there's not a lot of toys and tools and implements that go into it, and there's not a lot of playing in front of other people. It is sort of an intimate kink. So maybe that the intimacy factor plays into it for me.
That sounds very reasonable to me.
I think so. Yeah. Jan.
Me?
Yeah.
Oh man. I hate this discussion. See, in my opinion, true introversion and true extroversion are very rare in themselves.
Sure.
And everyone somewhere in the middle, if you can take those tests and they're just like looking at your horoscope. It's just like, wow. And you look at Cancer and, oh yeah, okay, that's
me. I got
me.
That,
and
yeah.
And then the next day, your boyfriend reads you Sagittarius, you're like, yeah, that's me. Oh, you lie. You know,
right.
That, you know, and I just... That it's a subjective thing, and I might find that the problem I have with them is when people take them as their identity and start to form themselves around those things is where the trouble begins. Mm. But as for their connection to kink, I don't really think it's as much as that personality, the expression of that, as it is about repression. Mm. The more something is repressed, the more exotic it becomes, shall we say, and then often the more intense it becomes. You were talking about, you know, growing up in a Catholic household and it being very repressive, so that kind of stuff, you know, comes out more and more. And yeah, so I think repression has a lot to do with it. There's quite a bit of denial. Not denial in the sense of, oh, I'm not doing this, as no, you can't have this.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of that kind of stuff.
I would have to say probably the craziest guy I ever dated was definitely a minister's son.
Mm.
Was he crazy as kinky? That is yes. She's making the yes sign.
Lots of like metal and knives.
Ooh, like surgical.
Fire play.
Did he have the daggers from the Omen?
Sort of
a
minister too, Baptist minister. Yeah, it was one of my trophies to have the T-shirt from the Baptist camp that his father ran.
Oh, my God.
And
that's awesome.
It was like this great big T-shirt from that camp. It was like, that was my trophy.
That's awesome.
Well, yeah, because I saw this thing where they had about, what are the top porn search terms in, you know, different areas. And usually the really conservative states, like the red states, they had like the kinkier, usually had more kinky things, you know, they usually were into things that were, you know, way beyond, you know. But for me, I look at introversion and extroversion as how you get your energy. That's completely how it's defined for me. So for me, I am completely introverted in that I'm an outgoing person, I can have a conversation, I can laugh and whatever. But how do I get my energy? I need my alone time.
Yes.
Okay? Like,
yes,
I can't
exactly.
function if I don't have my alone time. And I saw the difference between extroversion and introversion when I had have a really good friend, and she is, we call her the party planning pimp. She always plans our parties. Like, she is the one you go to. And I remember one time we were, you know, the party was in full swing, and she just went, like, because everybody was there. She got her energy from everybody just being, you know, just that. So for me, I don't see how it ties. I don't tie it into my kink, because it's just really about how do I rejuvenate? How do I, you know, I can't be kinky if I'm not like well rested, you know.
Yeah.
So tell us about your kink. You haven't said anything about this yet. So.
Okay, well, I like facial hair a lot. Like, I like a nice full beard,
like gruffy.
Yes, like no, nicely trimmed.
Right.
You have to be. I don't like patchy. No, you have to have a nice full beard, and that just. That just does something to me. So that's a kink. And then I have a thing about arms. I have an obsession with arms. Like,
how did you deal with sitting next to David Vincent earlier?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you don't even want to know. It was difficult. But yeah, so those are my kinks. And then I like kind of the BDSM kind of stuff too. But yeah.
What's that?
Cool.
I took the test. And I came up with, I can't remember what they called it. It was a different word, but it was like equal balance of both. And I feel like, I mean, if it's defined by where you get energy, like, yeah, definitely. I do need my alone time, but at the same time, one of my love languages is quality time. So I love being with people. Like, even if they're just like sitting there, like sometimes that just really feeds me. I'm good. I love to cuddle. Maybe I'm just really needy. I don't know.
I love to cuddle too. Sometimes I can do this at a con, of course. I would love to have a shirt that would say, "Please cuddle me," and like I can meet cool people to cuddle, but it just doesn't work like that.
Yeah.
Most of the time it's like, "Cuddle me." Now, generally the people who I want to cuddle.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Awesome. Anyone else have a question? We are just missing a very key ingredient to our show, which is usually a butt ton of wine, is what it's
called.
It's called the Red Wine Therapist. So we bring a bottle of wine, and then we talk about it and drink it throughout the whole.
I've got some Kirkland purified drinking
wine. Right, I've got a Red Bull sugar free, which has got some
aspartame
notes.
Yeah.
Some niacin.
Yeah.
Some floral.
A lot
good
of vitamin
stuff.
B6.
Oh, I'm finding another fetish here. Hold on.
Vitamin B6.
I want you to hit me with the writing grip while you read the ingredients.
Yes.
From the Red Bull can.
Yes.
Does anyone else have any more questions or want to share a story or anything like that?
My name is Shauna.
Hi, Shauna.
I guess this is more of like comment that I don't know how to form into a question.
Just comment, girl.
But I consider myself asexual, but I find fetish and kink very fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's interesting that you were talking about the sort of separation, that it doesn't always turn into something sexual, because I'm fascinated by other people's fascination and exploring different things and looking at like the very specific details of like the different things that people create, different fetish art that you can look at online, and sometimes it's a little bit more than I'm interested in because it has that sexual aspect, but just like the details of things, like foot fetishists like drawing the impressions of the foot into a sandal that's just, you know, dropped by the bedside or something like that.
Yeah,
so it's more of a comment than a question, but I find that fascinating.
One question for you. When you are looking at these sorts of things, like, do you just, is that good enough for you, like, just to see it, or do you, like, feel, like, do you pleasure yourself to watch it? I mean, I'm not trying to get all hot seedy on you,
I don't, actually. It's
like, it's enough to just see
it. Yeah, it's enough to just see
it
and sort of consider others' reaction to it.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's so cool.
I don't know. Like I said, I just find it fascinating, but not to the point. It's completely unrelated to anything sexual because I feel completely asexual, so it just never goes that far. So but I do find it fascinating, and that's why I find this discussion and this panel and this podcast very fascinating. So,
yeah.
Thank you.
It's an interesting thing. Yeah, thank you for bringing that up, because it's very interesting. You can see that in people's art. It's very strong. People's writing and people's art. And I mean, I see it because I studied directors, and I studied to be a director and worked as a director for a long time. I see the director's fetish is like, I can always see what it is. Sometimes it's glaring. I can't see Quentin Tarantino. This is like, dude, make a porn.
Yeah.
Go there, make a porn jack off, and let's watch a movie here.
Yeah.
You know?
He has a foot fetish.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I just, you know, and I'm like, that's cool and everything, but, you know, it just, like, don't be reasonable, you know. So I see that all the time, and sometimes it's very interesting as to what they are.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, sometimes it's very... I like it when it's very subtle, and it kind of comes out, you know, it's like you can see it in Hitch's movies, you
yes.
can see it in, like, all, so everybody's has one, but I find that fascinating, and I think that's something that really draws me in more if it's something that somehow resonates with me. Like Andrew Niccol, who like did the Truman Show and Gattaca and In Time, in his movies, eyes are very important, and he fetishizes them, and he uses them as transitions and all sorts of stuff. And it's a deep thing for him. It's symbolic, but it's also very fetishistic, the way he uses it. And that's just fascinating to me. So, yeah, I like to watch it to see people's system. And like I said, as long as it's not garish and overly, look at this, like,
in your face.
I think I like the horror genre for that reason, because it's filled with sublimated sexuality.
Oh, yeah.
And it's not necessarily obvious when you really start studying
tension.
The Yeah.
It's so strong.
Yeah.
In the fear.
Horror films.
Really?
Not horror films. Yeah.
Horror.
Oh, I know. Horror.
Yeah. Why are you surprised? I mean,
I'm just trying to remember like what they have in them.
I think horror in general is sexual.
Well, look at the pattern that it follows. Look at the pattern that, like, take a horror story, right? You know, look at the pattern that it follows. You come, climax,
and there's a climax,
and you have all this tension, and it's scary.
Plus, with what's fascinating to me also with the supernatural ones is there really seems to be a fetishization of like the obsession with Catholicism and the Abrahamic religions.
Yeah.
There's this
because there's a lot of discipline.
Yes.
Elements in there,
yes.
A lot of structure elements, mm-hmm. and a lot of, you know, and of course anything that has long traditions, I think, will probably have that kind of stuff.
Sure.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyone else? Step up to the mic. I really love American Horror Story.
I do too.
It's like my favorite.
October 9th.
Oh, can't wait. Hi. What's your name?
I'm CJ.
Hi,
CJ. Okay.
I have complete androgen insensitivity syndrome, which is technically an intersex condition.
Mm-hmm.
And for a long time, I guess I felt very uncomfortable about how I was.
Mm-hmm.
And as people who are, you know, you're a therapist, you obviously, you know, being kind of dad's son, sort of interested in mentoring, and
mm-hmm.
all of you are very confident in the decisions that you've made in your life. I feel like education and everything on this is hard to come by.
Mm-hmm.
And if you search for it, you end up getting sent to the very farthest end that you can.
Right.
Go to.
Yeah.
A lot of extremism.
Yeah.
I'm just like, what is this?
So I don't want to ask you to, you know, like, dumb it down or anything, but if you had, like, just a few minutes with somebody and you were going to tell them, who is questioning their sexuality or questioning their gender identity or questioning anything, if you could tell them anything from your experience that you could think to help them out, what would it be?
Mm.
That's a very good question. There's kind of two different ways you can look at that. There's the you know, learn as much as you can. You know, that ultimately, we always want to do that. But there's the be true to yourself, and then be careful. There's like, that's the difficult balance, right? Because, you know, you have to understand your environment, like we were talking about, like very, you know, restrained and controlled environments and such. If you're in something like that, then your freedom to do certain things is limited. But you can always learn. You can always, there's always a way to learn something in this world today. And the internet is very helpful, but like, and as you said, you can get spun out into the crazy stuff. But if you stick with the big ones like the APA and them, they're not going to go into great detail, but they can start to give you ideas. And then anyone who deals with, like, you know, there are organizations that are not just advocacy organizations, but they do education and that kind of stuff. What is their name? Not the IAT. ISA. The Intersex Society of America, I think they do education and outreach, and like there, you know, there's any number of like trans organizations and of course gay organizations that do education on their websites and stuff. I would suggest that people start with the big stuff and learn as much as they can, but being careful of their environment.
Yeah, and
that's
look,
a long.
Yeah, no, because I look at that the same way too. Like with sex therapy, people always kind of get caught up in the sex. That's what they are drawn to, sex. You know, but to me, I really look at it as just about educating. You know, it's just, it's really more about educating people about their bodies, about relationships, because sometimes people just don't know what, you know, what I may think would be something that's completely like, well, you should, you know, people know that. A lot of people don't, because their family of origin, or there's so many different things. So I'm really big on educating people. And then I'm just a big, I ask a lot of questions. I'm like, okay, what, you know, and so I would encourage people to ask themselves questions too about, okay, what is my issue? Why am I stressed out about this? What, you know, what's the underlying issue here? And things like that. And then the other is really trite, but I just feel like, you know, if you just trust yourself, you know, and I know it's cheesy, but I mean, but really just, you know, trusting that you've made the right decision, or you are who you are, and that no one can, you know, take that away from you, you know. But I mean, so that's kind of how I approach my clients when I'm talking to them.
I mean, I'm not a therapist or anything like that, but I mean, yeah, I would just.
But you're a confident woman.
Yeah, sometimes. yeah, I think the worst thing you could do is try too hard. I mean, you know, or force yourself into something and just know that you're okay. You know, if you don't want to try something right away, don't try it. I think internet helps a lot. Just like, I mean, just in general, if you're curious about something, you know, looking up other people's stories or getting their experiences, kind of like living it yourself and seeing how you feel about it, maybe.
Oh. That's what I think the most wonderful thing about the internet is, you can find some kind of niche. You're going to find your people, you know? I mean, it's, because, you know, that's the wonderful thing about it is that, I mean, there's somebody who's living in some foreign country who's having this exact same experience. You would never come across them any other way, but, you know, with the internet, you can connect with people who have your same experience, which is kind of the cool thing about it.
I can't speak to gender identity at all. I'm not educated enough to talk about that confidently, but... And the therapists at the end of the table may not like this, what I'm about to say, terribly, or you may, I don't know. But whenever someone is talking to me about, and of course this is when someone is of age to discuss this kind of thing with me, I would never say this to a kid, but if someone is 18 or older and they're going through something where they're like, I'm really confused about which way I swing and da-da-da-da, and I've said this to so many people and watched their eyes light up and go, oh my God, that makes it so much easier. But this... You may honestly disagree with this as some kind of a method, but I tend to say, if you're really honestly having confusion about where you stand on the sexuality aspect of things, what you're into, what do you think about when you masturbate? I mean, that's I say that to people, and they're like, oh yeah, oh, what I think about it. I'm like, okay, well then maybe that's how I deal with that question. I mean, it seems really simplistic and almost like I'm making a joke, but I'm not. What do you think about when you're getting yourself off? I mean, what stimulates you?
Right. And one thing I wanted to add to that, you were saying, talking about confidence.
Yeah.
I am so not confident about some of the decisions I make. I mean, there's no 100% common. I'm sitting up here babbling into this mic thinking that, you know, y'all are like, probably like, what are you talking about, moron? Shut up, let somebody else talk, you know? There's this little ticker in my mind saying that. It's the same ticker that says, Jen, why do you have sex once every 3 years? Because you suck. That's why, you know, this kind of stuff, right? So, no, I mean, confidence is not necessarily what it might be.
I think that voice is kind of universal to humanity.
Yeah.
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 So, you know, no perfection. Okay, well, you might be perfect.
No.
Thank you.
Lots of damaged humans up here.
Yeah, everywhere. And that's the thing, too. It's like, I love that commonality of we all are flawed and we all have these issues. And it's so wonderful when you can be open with people, because then you see that commonality. It's like, oh, you're experiencing the same thing too. But a lot of times people are in their little vacuum and they're not honest, you know, with themselves or with other people. And so then they feel totally isolated. And like, you know, when I have clients who are like gay and they're not open about it and honest about it, I just feel so bad. So I'm like, oh my God, do you know how your life would open up if you just, you know, so anyways, I think it's really important to be honest.
Well, I think that I kind of agree with you, because I was very blessed to have a dad that was like, talk to me about anything at all. It doesn't matter. And we always had family dinners, and so it's, you know, family discussion time. Doesn't matter what we're talking about. And so that really helped me personally, that I could go to somebody with anything that I had and trying to verbalize it and say it was enough to probably help you think through it. So thank you for answering my question.
Thank you.
Your question.
Wow.
That's an excellent
question. We covered so much tonight. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Had some good subjects, good questions, good points. You know. So this is our podcast. It's the Red Wine Therapist. And if you guys want to check out previous episodes, you can go to theredwinetherapist.podomatic.com. And we have some up there. And we are on Twitter. If you want to tweet us. It's Red Wine Therapist. That's
no
like P.
I.
There's no I at the end. P-ist. Yeah. And we usually will take, we'll read the Twitter questions during. We have a phone number that you can call in and you can ask us questions. And we'll
Facebook
usually post,
page, too.
We have a Facebook page and we'll post the guests and the subject, and you can call in and ask the questions, or you can ask random questions. We'll sometimes answer them. You know.
Does this mean that from cons from now on, like, guys are going to start coming up to me and calling me daddy?
No, we're going to come up with a crop, like,
yes, or with a riding crop.
Yes.
Hey, Chris.
Oh, Jade.
Hey, if people come up to me and offer rope, I'm open to discussion.
Jade, like, messages for weeks after we did an episode, and she talked about how she gave her husband a peanut butter blowjob, and so she got like all these messages without like
we call that nutter butter.
A nutter butter, and she's just like, God, I can't get away from that. Everyone keeps messaging me about peanut butter blowjobs, because the thing is, like, we drink a lot of wine during it, and so Jade will sometimes, like, she's our other co-host.
Yes. It's a little tipsy.
Yeah. So she was just talking about it, like, loosely. And, you know, it's just us. We don't have, like, people watching. So we kind of forget, you know. And we'll just say whatever. And then she's like, oh, crap. I didn't say that. Yes, he did.
Awesome.
He did.
Nutter butter. All right. I learned something new today.
As long as he didn't get his chocolate and her peanut butter.
Right?
Yeah. Sorry. I'm sorry.
Ooh, yeah.
Sorry. That's for tomorrow night, Chris. Tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night, because Pat in the chair is too much. Well, thanks, guys, for joining
so
us
much.
For our live NDK recording. Jute, how's your first NDK?
This is so awesome, and I'm just like, this is the best people watching in the world. First of all, like, just seeing everybody in the costumes and everything, and I can't wait to come again.
Yay! So check it out, guys. Thank you so much for being out here. Thanks, Chris Patton.
Thank you.
Thanks, Scott Frazier, for being our awesome guest.
For
So say bye, guys. Just say bye.
Bye,
bye.
Guys.
Bye.